The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 503. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Majoma.
So the fact that Sony has not remastered that one game that we all want shows just how out of touch they are with people.
Yeah, it's insane. I don't know how I missed having
touch. You're out of touch.
I don't know how I missed having that in the show notes, but I got to throw that in there. Sony's about to remake another game. It's Horizon. You already heard.
Remaster?
But here's the funny thing. We'll get into it. But again, we joked about this recently, and that was coming true. So now I'm looking forward to Astrobot Remastered coming next month. You know, crazy shit.
There's like a certain level of games, right? Like, I feel like Horizon doesn't need a remaster because they already sort of gave it like a pro version and the 5 version. So it's runs and it looks decent on thing.
But you know how it is.
We'll get into that.
But before we, but before we get into it, man, this is serious right now. I actually want to dedicate this episode to a very good friend of the podcast who passed away like kind of unexpectedly to us. Our boy Big Mike, man. This shit came out of nowhere. You know, we heard about it yesterday on the Twitters, you know, the platform podcasts, and I fucked me up for a little bit, man. Mike was a good guy. One of those guys who's just very, very passionate about gaming. That's all he talked about on Twitter. That and wrestling, you know? And not only was he a big fan of, you know, Throwdown, he's been here, but obviously big fan of the Coalition. Rich, you knew him very well. You guys talk wrestling. And he was on WrestleCast too, wasn't he? Like, he showed up.
Oh, yeah, that was probably one of the most entertaining episodes we had.
Yeah,
you know, him and his other friend, Dave.
Yep.
I got the news because Dana shared with the post of me, and I was like, whoa, hold on a second. And then I shared it with Adam. Yeah, it's horrible news to hear. I don't know if he had any certain health issues. I'm not going to get into that. I just know it definitely happened sudden because just yesterday morning he was tweeting.
Mm-hmm.
So for that to just happen that quickly, and then, you know, you find out later in the evening he passed, it's very devastating to get that news. So I definitely, my condolences to his family and of course everyone on the platform podcast. It's very sad to hear that news.
Yeah. Yeah. No, platform podcast. Yeah. I also want to give a shout out to those brothers, man. They've been around just as long as we have and kind of came up with us. You know, even we've had like half of them on the show at some point. They gave us some tips and shit. Good dudes. And, you know, Mike, again, always so supportive, man. You know, he joined us in a lot of game streams. There's that epic one Carlos and I were playing. And, you know, it was like, you good, Mike? You're like, I'm dead, you know? So kind of ironic that happened now. But yeah, Mike was fun, man. But you're right, Rich. It's like, yo, I was just tweeting with him the day before, you know? So it's like, oh, it's crazy. Yeah, Carlos, get in here, man. Because I know, you know, Big Mike was your boy too, you know?
Yeah, man. We had, you know, a lot of fun nights. Like I talked to Tony yesterday on the Discord. You know, we even have clips of, you know, playing with Mike. Some of the best moments we've had, you know, involved him. And yeah, like Tony mentioned, like he was like really passionate about gaming, but he was also like a really good dude. He would always try to support us with the Discord when we set that up. I know he was always, you know, saying, I was like, I can help out with the Discord if you guys need me like to moderate.
Yeah.
So, you know, you know, shout out to, you know, to his memory, man, because, you know, a lot of good memories, you know, shout out to the Platform Podcast, obviously, because, you know, they're probably feeling it even worse than we are, man. It sucks, man. It's just terrible. Like the news, it was just all of a sudden.
It really was, man. Well, you know, and it's funny, you know, again, for you guys who've been listening to Throwing Out for a while, like every single year we did the, you know, the PlayStation recap, we'd always be like, okay, but how many hours did Big Mike log in? Because he would get thousands of hours a year and shit. We're like, I don't even know if there's that many hours in a year, but you somehow beat it, you know? So yeah, shout out to him, man. You know, shout out to his family, obviously, condolences. And yeah, man, it's sad because, again, it's like, so many people that you see on Twitter and shit, and even on the podcast, are just so full of hate and toxicity. Not this dude, man. He just loved him some gaming, you know? Good stuff, man. So, yeah. This episode, Chris, you want to say anything about Big Mike?
He was great, man. I was very sad by the news, you know? You know, the times we spent gaming. As a matter of fact, he invited me several years ago to talk on Platform Podcast about my time at Nintendo, and that was, we had a great conversation, you know. So he will be missed. It's tragic.
Yeah, sure. Anybody else want to say anything about Big Mike? Manny, I don't know if you interacted with him much, but I know you know him.
No, I never really interacted with him, you know, other than the times that he showed up on the show. But you know, he always seemed like a good, you know, a good dude. And you know, it always you know, always sucks. So it's like, it was, you know, it's an Iron Maiden song, "Only the good die young, all the evil seem to live forever."
I couldn't help but think about that. It's like, there's so many fucked up people still around. And then Big Mike's gone. Yeah. Big Mike, bro. It's like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Not him.
Yeah. How old? I mean, how old was he? He's in our age range.
Yeah. He's like, 40s, like, yeah, he's 30s. In yeah, probably late 30s, early 40s. Definitely in our age range. He liked the same shit we did, you know, growing up and all that. He was, Otaku, man. He was a great guy, man. Like, one of those, like, rare dudes in gaming, man. Like, there's a lot of grifters out there, man. A lot of fake people out there. Not Mike, you know? I think he was realer than us, you know? Like, this dude was real, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the way he played games, man. Like, he was about that life, so.
Always playing, you know? Again, thousands of hours every year. We'd be like, yo, to see what Big Mike got. Every time, like, oh fuck, he had more hours logged in than all of us combined, bro. Yeah. I'm not even exaggerating. Yeah. It's crazy, you know. But yeah, man. So yeah, I want to dedicate this entire episode to Big Mike. I know he would have enjoyed it because we're gonna be throwing some heat tonight. You know. Let's get into it, man. Nintendo is gonna sue the PAL World makers. Now, remember. Well, I think it was back in February, Nintendo said they're going to start investigating. I guess investigation is done. They're ready to bring the hammer down. So, Chris, what's your take on this, man?
Well, the investigation was a little suspect. I think what they did was they didn't have a patent in Japan for the idea of a Pokeball or storing an animal in a ball. I forgot what the patent is, but it was just filed in between the time that they said they were going to investigate and drop in the lawsuit. So after the fact, after PAL World launched, they acquired a patent for being able to toss an animal out of an object, a small object. And then now on those grounds are suing for patent infringement, which is very flimsy, but they're not, this lawsuit isn't here. It's in Japan.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen about that. Like, I don't know anything about Japanese law or patent law or anything like that. Yeah. Like, that's flimsy here. I don't think they would even have gotten that patent here in America, but they got it there, and now they.
I would say this about Japanese law. It's very harsh. You know, like, you people, everybody thinks that, oh yeah, you know, they let, you know, the doujins and all that stuff. Or it's, you know, people, they're pretty loose over there in Japan. No, they're not. They're actually one of the harsher countries when it comes to copyright infringement. This is a like, there are situations where, like, you know, like over here, you go to a Comic-Con and you can see, like, artists, you know, drawing other characters they never drew, right? In Japan, if you're a professional artist and you do this and the big company finds out, they will sue you. Oh, and they will sue you individually. This is the, it's not like over here where they kind of stay away from any of that sort of talk because, hey, you know, it looks really bad in the media. No, over there in Japan, no, they say, fuck you. They kick you to the curb right away and they'll win too.
Well, yeah, that's my concern because if Power World is done, yeah, that's it. They'll have to shut down their servers or they'd have to change their mechanics drastically to satisfy Nintendo, which will be expensive. Either way, it's expensive because if they fight this in court, it's going to be expensive. Nintendo, I'm assuming, has way more resources than they do. Yeah. Right? So it's hard to fight. Nintendo could possibly try to file, or maybe they're in the process of filing these patents in the EU and here. So if they get those, right, they could continue the lawsuit in the EU courts and then here, right, which would be ridiculous, but they would do it. I don't put it past them. This is the kind of bullshit I always talked about, like the lawfare stuff they try to do and like trying to crush like other companies and smaller. And that's the stuff that I hate. Like they're great with software, they're great with story, they're great at what they do. But when they fight like dirty like this, you have to call it out. Like there was no patent for this this thing, the whole like storing your animal in the ball and throwing it. Why they didn't file that? How long has Pokemon been around?
Yeah,
you know, like, 25, 30 years, whatever. Yeah. It's since the late 90s, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking like almost 30 years. You didn't file that patent? It's the core mechanic of your games. I think it's ridiculous. Yeah. So I think just on the basis that they started an investigation, and in the meantime, part of that was applying for the patent that they're trying to catch Palworld on.
Yeah.
Which already will launch months earlier, and then get the patent, and then go, okay, now we can sue them. That's ridiculous.
But again, because I don't understand Japanese law, but it's like if Palworld came out before that patent dropped, doesn't that nullify it? You know what I mean?
Well, it should. Like here, yeah, that wouldn't stand. But here, it may have been, it probably would be a harder thing because the patent office would be like, you can't patent something that other people are doing. This is too generic, right?
Yeah.
It's not specifically like these battle animals are coming out of this sphere or whatever. It's a very generic, like, I think they use the word pets.
Pet, yeah, okay.
So it's a very broad thing that they're patented. So nobody can ever do this, you know, ever in Japan, right? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds super. I didn't know that part. That they're doing this off of something that they patented this year.
Yeah, theoretically, because the patent was filed after Palworld existed, they still have grounds. But I think also at the same time, why they're also doing it, not only enforcing their, you know, forcing this thing, but also one, I think they also want to get the company, you know, that makes Palworld into a cycle, essentially, to where they will essentially have to close because of just how many lawsuits they're getting thrown at them.
Yeah.
So they don't want. Nintendo won't need to win. They just need to just continue to try to, you know, take them to court.
Yeah.
Companies have done.
Nintendo has done that.
Galoob is gone because of that. Galoob won the Game Genie lawsuit, right?
Yeah.
In America, but it destroyed them financially. They couldn't stand up after that, so they shut down.
Yep.
So the same thing could happen here.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think this company's going to be around a while longer, man. They're done. Nintendo's going to destroy them, you know? Brian, what's your take on this? I know you like Palworld.
It's interesting to see why Nintendo are doing this. Because when I first heard the news, I thought it was maybe about copyright, but then I read more and then said it's about patent infringement. And then I was like, okay, so what could that actually be? And then hearing it, it's just kind of like, it sounds very weak to me, as you guys have said. So I'm kind of just like thinking, as you guys have said, this is purely just to try and do some lawfare so that this company spends all the money fighting in court so that they're just moneyed out of existence, which is disgusting. Yeah. I mean, what other term can you use for it? You know, it's like the big dogs using their weight to shut down the small man, and it's not right.
Yeah, but this is Nintendo. Is anyone surprised, you know? So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But obviously, it's not going to be the end of it. So we'll report on it as it comes up. All right. Any other thoughts before we move on?
I think it's a shame. And I really think part of that investigation was to stall so they could get the patent, so they had grounds to sue, because they didn't have anything to sue on in the first place. Everybody pointed that out when they said we're going to investigate. I'm like, what could you investigate? It's like legally it's different enough that there's no you have nothing to sue them for, right? So they created it.
Yeah.
Now they have a patent that they're back, so that it's retroactive now. I if that's how Japanese law worked, that's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's retroactive, you know? It's like you're doing some fucking time traveling shit, you know? Barry Burns says the developer must have known this would happen, so I would think they have a plan to change the game. They may have to change the game if they want to survive. What's up, man?
I just want to make a comment.
Yeah.
Got to sue them all. That's the new tagline, right?
It should be.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on here. Sticking with Nintendo, some supposed leaked images of the Switch 2 have emerged. And this sounds very familiar. So this isn't a 3D model like we saw, that 3D printed one. I'll get to that in a bit. These are like CAD renders, as they call them. At least, you know, like the renders I'm used to seeing with like tech leaks and shit. But from what I'm seeing here, a lot of it looks like the Switch, you know, the normal Switch, just a little bit enhanced. I understand that Joy-Cons are like magnetic now. And it looks like a dock here. Again, take all this shit with a grain of salt. We don't know. I'm reading this. I'm going to read this real quick from Android Authority. According to a Reddit post, we're dealing with a console that has an 8-inch screen, magnetic Joy-Cons, a USB and USB-C ports on the top and bottom. Additionally, it's claimed that the system will have 12 megabytes of RAM, support for HDMI 2.1, excuse me, and 256 gigs of internal storage. Based on the images, looks like the SL and SR buttons on the Joy-Cons may have been revised. In addition, it appears that the release button on the controllers has been changed as well. While you should remain skeptical of this leak, the images reportedly match what Nintendo's partners have been told to expect, according to VGC source who has not seen the Switch 2 but who has been briefed on the plans. The details also appear to be in line with previous leaks suggesting 8-inch display. So basically this leak came out and then another source is saying, yeah, this is legit. But obviously, like I said, grain of salt. I'm just going to jump into it with the fucking story, man, for you guys who don't remember. But, you know, this happened in 2017, which means we talked about it on Throwdown for a while. So supposed factory, whatever, like an actual physical Switch, quote unquote Switch, came out, right? And it looked like a fucking Vita, basically, a giant Vita. You know, and we're like, oh shit, it's real. It's not just some Photoshop thing. There was no AI back then. You know, it's like, oh, this is real. I was writing for Geek.com at the time for 3 weeks. I was covering this thing, right? Because there was always developments about it, right? Turned out it was fake. It was 3D printed, right? So the final story was me documenting the entire journey. You know, so you could kind of understand my skepticism here. This seems a little bit more credible just because it looks like the kind of leaks you see from like Samsung and shit, you know, those kind of CAD renders, and those always turn out to be true. You know, Samsung has, you want to talk about leaks, man, the fucking tech industry is leaky as fuck, you know. So this could be legit, but it also kind of confirms something we suspected, that with the next console, because here's the thing, Nintendo almost always, not all the time, but most of the time, especially in the last 20 years, they radically reinvent every single system they come out with. But we were like, they're probably going to stick with the form factor of the Switch. It's way too profitable. The Switch is the culmination of everything they've been doing for the last 20 years, right? You got the detachable controllers. You got the fucking screen. You plug it into your TV. It all came together, you know? So it is. They kind of, for lack of a better term, hit their final form, you know? So I'm not surprised that if this is true, that this is what this thing's going to ultimately look like, you know?
Doesn't the spec seem a little weak? Like 256
gigs of storage? Of course they do. It's Nintendo.
Yeah, but doesn't the Switch have that now?
No, it has less than that.
It has 128?
Yeah, it has. Yeah, it's 128 or something like that.
Say double that, but that's not even comparable with anything.
No,
other handhelds.
Like, Nintendo.
Yeah, so Nintendo, and 12 gigs of RAM. So you stepped up from 8. Was it 4 or 8?
I don't remember. What's in the Switch
now? 8. 8 is in there. So you didn't even double it. Just went to 12 like that. It's like it's almost like a Switch Pro instead of the next Switch, right?
And now they have HDMI 2.1. If you want 120 hertz. From fucking Switch, you know. And how big is this the display on the current Switch? 7 inches, right?
Think so. OLED?
Yeah, yeah. So this is 8. So it would be bigger. It shows you how much we know about the Switch here. But Chris, I'm not surprised that the specs are this bad because it's Nintendo, you know?
Well, I know they do low specs, but this seems like ridiculously low considering the distance between the launch of the Switch and then this.
Wait, hold on. Is that true, Otaku Man? The original just had 64 gigs? No fucking way.
Wait. All right, I gotta look this
up. Yeah, look this up. Yeah, like, but then again, this is Nintendo we're talking about. You know?
Yeah, it did, because there was an issue with Zelda, and I swear that the first one was around that size, no? Because there was definitely an issue that you couldn't fit Zelda on there or something.
No, you're right. See, right, what you guys are hearing right now is me and Chris's brains not understanding this. Because we're like, oh, you can't go lower than 128. Nintendo said, hold my beer, you know?
Shit.
Brian, thank you. You're 100% right about that. Wow. 256 gig. Not surprised. 12 gigs of RAM. And do we even know what processor this thing's going to be running on?
No, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Wow, the original it only had 4 gigs of RAM.
Wow. Shit. Damn. What an underpowered piece of crap. And so is this one.
Yeah.
Is anybody buying this thing on Throwdown?
Well, given the news that they plan to sue the Powerwall guys, I just don't know. Remember Labo?
I remember Labo. We have one of those in the office. I always laugh at it every time I see it. Manny, you're talking. You can't hear you.
You haven't recycled it yet?
No, we haven't.
Recyclable Labo.
Oh, it gets worse. The base model of the original Switch only had 32 gigs of storage, of onboard storage. The OLED has
64. Wow.
So it keeps getting worse.
Does keep getting worse.
Holy shit. I didn't even remember that. I'm like, no way it could have that. No. Oh, no.
Okay, so that makes sense. So I guess Zelda was like around 30-something gigs.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Jeez.
Nintendo, man. I know somebody's going to be, oh, but they sold a lot, though. Yeah, but the machine sucks. You know?
So, I mean, what is it now? Is it at has it reached at least a PlayStation 4 yet?
No.
No.
PlayStation 4 had 512 gigs, didn't it? Come on, man. Come on. What are we doing?
I mean, as I remember, the original one was like, they said it was more powerful than a PlayStation 3. That's what they said.
Fuck out of here.
Even that is questionable right there.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
By the way, hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Where's GTA 5 for Switch, bro?
I tell you what, with these specs, it won't run on here either.
It won't run on this thing either. You're right. What a piece of crap, man. I don't, like I said, that the Switch... horrible. I mean, yeah, again, I like Mario Odyssey, that was cool, but terrible system. I'm not going back to Nintendo. I tried, people. I went back after, because I got the Super Nintendo and I didn't touch Nintendo again until the Switch. You know, 3DS if you want to count that. But yeah, GTA 5 with launch title for the Switch too.
Yeah, right.
You know, then those motherfuckers on Twitter are like, we told you, Tony. We told you.
I mean, man, do they have Red Dead on nuts. There?
You know?
Do they have Red Dead running on there? No, right?
No.
No. Yeah. And Red Dead was on PS3. So tell me how it's more powerful than PS3.
Yeah. you literally had those idiots. They got L.A. Noir running on Switch. That means they could get Grand Theft Auto as well. Okay, bro. Where is it? God. Where is
Did they have Rally Noir running on there, or was it running through streaming?
No, it was actually, they actually like have it running locally, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, that streaming shit did not work well.
Yeah. Red Dead 1 is on Switch? No fucking way. Did they actually manage to get that on there? I can actually, I guess I can understand that. Like, there's like nothing in that game. Let's see.
So, yeah. So, yeah.
Otaku Man says yes. See, Otaku Man, I don't even question Otaku Man. He says yes. That's all I need, you know?
So, yeah. So, it could run, the PlayStation 3 version of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. Right. I don't even know about that.
Yeah, that's not even supported. It hasn't been supported in years.
Kingdom Hearts is streaming only on Switch. Interesting. But, you know, whatever. But yeah, Switch 2. Again, you know, we'll report on it, you know, obviously as we have to, but I can't say anybody here.
Well, I wonder, excited. To Brian's point, I just say this. I wonder if, like he was saying with the Pal World stuff, I wonder if Nintendo does destroy these guys. I forgot the name of the studio. Pocket Pair?
Pocket Pair, yeah.
Yeah, if they destroy them in court with this bullshit, if this is Galoob all over again, I wonder how much bad faith there will be, like people just abandoning them, because a lot of people... There's cross-pollination. A lot of people like this game. It scratched an itch that Pokemon never managed to scratch because it's fucking Applebee's of video games. It's the same shit over and over again, right? Pal World scratched an itch that people were asking for, and now you take it away, you shut it down with Lawfare. That's not a good look.
I agree. Yeah, it could hurt him. Could hurt him, you know? But go ahead, Rich.
I just want to make a comment to answer what Chris said. There's a simple solution to this, Chris. The Switch 2 will just be released as an anniversary edition with maybe Super Nintendo colors and, you know, design. That's how they'll get the fans back.
There you go. Oh, yeah, and supposedly that is what they're going to name the system. They're apparently going to just call it Switch 2, which is interesting because aside from the Nintendo 64, they never had a Nintendo console with a number on it.
Number on it,
you know? Yeah. So that's interesting. Manny, you're saying something? You're muted.
What if they decided to call it Switch TOO?
Switch 2, yeah.
Switch 2.
Yeah. So if it's true, shout out to Paris Lily. You're wrong, sir, because he says they're going to call it the Super Nintendo Switch, which would be fun, but I don't think they're going to do that. You know? But yeah, Switch, there you go. Again, we'll cover it because we need to, but very difficult to get excited about this thing.
What if they took all the names that they added to it? You know, like, Super Nintendo Switch 64.
Super Nintendo Switch 64 or U.
U, yes.
That's only if they really wanted the console to die. They'll call it the Switch U.
Yeah, the Switch U. Yeah. Oh, man.
Hey, Switch U, man. Switch U.
Switch U. Switch U. All right, man. Moving on here. Here's something that's going to shock you guys. Square Enix was not happy with the sales of the Final Fantasy games that came out. This first game is just never happy with the sales of their fucking games. Although, admittedly, in this case, the games didn't seem to have sold that much. Like, I think Final Fantasy 16 sold, it was like 2 to 3 million, which for another game would be like, holy shit, you know? But for Final Fantasy, a little bit low. So I kind of get that. But now because of that, and it's interesting because they mentioned this before, because of that, they're going to cancel a bunch of projects and kind of focus more on... putting games out on more systems. Remember, both of these Final Fantasy games, 16 and 7 Remake, Rebirth, were only on PlayStation. It came to PC eventually, but not on Xbox. And the last game that came out before that, Final Fantasy 15, sold 5 million, like pretty close to launch. That was on everything, you know, minus the Switch, obviously. So I think it makes sense. I guess put it on Xbox. You know, get a little something there, you know?
Yeah.
Here goes. In the HD games subsegment, I didn't realize they called it that. We released multiple new titles, including major titles such as Final Fantasy 16 and Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, but profits, unfortunately, did not meet our expectations. Went out to suggest Square Enix cannibalizes sales of its Final Fantasy games during... Yeah, I agree. Two Final Fantasy games coming out so close to each other probably didn't help matters.
Yeah,
you know?
they should have never did that. It's literally, you're literally in competition with yourself.
Yeah, it's not like, oh yeah, Final Fantasy VII players will only play Final Fantasy VII. No, they want to play Final Fantasy, you know, and vice versa. It's crazy. Yeah,
they should have at least let them have some time in between.
Yeah.
Maybe postpone the 7 or whatever one, which was the first one. So I think it was 7 that was the second, right?
Yeah, I was the one that came out second, yeah. 16 yeah. came out
why
first.
Why didn't they just let that one sit for a little bit and then let 16 run its course, you know, get that Final Fantasy 7 to be running a bit better than it actually was.
Yeah.
You know.
That's true. They could have waited. They could have waited because mm-hmm. it's crazy how that game sold less than the first one, you know. You muted again, Manny.
I said they're going to probably have diminishing returns on those titles.
Yeah, until they release them all in one collection.
I think, yeah, until they do it in one collection or figure out how to get it all into one collection. Because number one, and this is what I said before, and you know, we said this long ago when we found out that it was going to be a series of games. People are not going to deal. They're not going to want that. People want to play Final Fantasy once. They don't need to keep. They don't want to keep playing these other releases. You know.
Yeah. Some people. You know. I like me. I don't mind.
I think to be honest, it doesn't.
You're getting three full games, so it's fine. But at the same time, I will admit, you have a lot of fluff in these fucking games. You know.
Especially the last one. You get three, you get three full games, but really, how much could you call the last game a full game with all that?
Lot of filler, yeah. So I see both sides, you know.
I feel like they should have just taken that ill and just combined all the efforts into one title instead of this piecemeal. Because I suspect, even though there's still anticipation for that last one, it's not going to happen. I think it's going to have even less returns than the previous one.
Yeah, maybe, because usually the first and last games do better. The ones in the middle are like, same movies too and sequels and stuff. The middle chapter is always the toughest one because you're starting off where the last one left off and then you got to end on a cliffhanger. And at least the third one will probably draw up more interest, but it's going to be tough. But I agree with you. Give it some time, you know, Wait for the PS6, you know. But also a little bit of combination. Go ahead, Rich. Go ahead, Ged.
Oh no, continue. I was going to say something about Final Fantasy 16 after you go.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say it's a little bit of combination. I think it's a combination of two things. I think it actually is lower than expected sales, but historically, Square Enix has never liked sales of any of its games. Even when they sell really well, you know?
This is the first time it's actually affected non-Western games.
That is true.
Remember, it was the Western games that always got the heavy hand. It said, oh, no, this didn't sell good enough.
Yeah. You got to do better. It's like, guys, you're so fine. Yeah. Like Tomb Raider, we're like, oh, sales didn't sell well. It's like 5 billion copies initially, and then it eventually went on to sell 10 million or more.
They're like, you fail, McFly.
Yeah. Rich, what are you gonna say about 16?
Well, first, let me just say I do agree with what you guys said. I would have spread those releases out a lot sooner. With 16, I actually recall going to the launch event for that because it happened at the same time Summer Games Fest happened last year. And shout out to our boy Hip Hop Gamer because I spent a lot of time with him and others at that event, and so they clearly was very much behind this game. Obviously, you know. Came to PS5. It is out on PC now because Gary actually got it yesterday. So, but I maybe if they released that particular game on PC at launch too, I don't know. Maybe that could have made a difference. But like you guys said, they have very wild out their numbers in their minds for how much they're expecting sales wise. So they probably still would have been disappointed.
Yeah. It's a shame too because Final Fantasy 16 was genuinely fucking great, man. You know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting. It's like my biggest problem with that game was the fact that it was super linear. Like there was no exploration really. It was just go through the dungeon and shit. But they didn't really have a lot of fluff in the game, which is good. Conversely, Final Fantasy VII lets you fully explore, right? Great stuff. And then you have 50,000 mini games, you know? So it's crazy. Too many fucking mini games in that. And some of them you can. It's not like, oh, I can just skip it. You got to do it. There's two instances in the game, maybe three, where you have to beat the fucking card game to proceed. You can't just skip it. You can't just lose. You need to beat it. And I don't know the fucking rules. So I'm just there throwing shit and just hoping I get lucky, you know, because the rules don't make any fucking sense. But yeah, they should have spaced them out. It's a shame because both games were good, but yeah. All right, moving on. What are we talking about, man? I threw this one here for you. So apparently Krafton, people who bought Tango Gameworks, they don't think Hi-Fi Rush 2 is going to make them any money. What's up with that?
I mean, I think I said this before on Twitter. It sounds like a backhand. You missed a portion of it. They said they don't think it will make money, but we think that companies like Tango Gameworks should be allowed to continue to make games.
Yeah.
So in other words, they're giving it's for the art commentary, which I felt like is a weird backhanded compliment, where it's like they don't believe that the game will do anything. It'll just get some critical acclaim, you know, and, you know, maybe some people will like it. I mean, they tried their damnedest to do it. I mean, as I would say this, as long as they I don't know if it'll be a profit, but at least I would think that at least if they paid, they at least paid for their development costs and then some, I think that would be a better situation to be in. I don't think Hi-Fi Rush costs a whole lot of money to make. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're going to probably be making PUBG money, but at least they have they have it, you know, they kind of have their expectations set, I guess. But yeah, is what it is. I mean, it's a weird thing to say in public.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, very
like,
strange.
You could have just kept that under your seat and just be like, hey, yeah, you know, we're glad to have Tango Gameworks and, you know, we support them in whatever they do. Bam.
Yeah.
Somebody got to get in touch with a good PR person, because all that does is sounds like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're trying to say it's like, yeah, we don't think they're going to make us any money, but we believe in what they could do. Some shit like that. You know, they weren't dissing them, obviously, but it still came off weird, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there it is.
I mean, yeah. I guess they didn't extend the same olive branch to the guy who made Dead Space, because they were rushing his ass to make that game, from the interviews that he had done.
Oh, okay. Oh my God, why am I forgetting his name? I know you're talking.
Yeah, whatever his name is, the guy who created Dead Space. He said that they were rushing him, and he wanted more time to essentially, you know, put more polish on the game.
Yeah. So. What a disappointment Callisto Protocol was, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Dead Space, what was it? The Dead Space success, you know, spiritual successor got literally trounced by the actual Dead Space.
By the remake. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. Moving on. What else do we have? Oh, this one. So the Concord director has left the studio. It has begun. Remember our prediction on Throwdown that the Firewalk Studios will be shut down eventually, maybe sooner than later. I think this is the first instance, man. The director leaves. I think it's...
Well, I mean, if the director leaves, that means that they don't have... I mean, they have nothing else to do there, to be honest.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Sit around and look at the walls? I mean, there's no game.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he didn't technically leave. He stepped down from director. He has some kind of like support role. He has some kind of window seat, but he's still there. But here's the thing. This is like the game version of the Costa Concordia. The ship already hit the reef.
Yeah.
Right? You bailing out at this point, it doesn't matter. It's sunk. Like, Firewalk is done. They're just waiting for Sony to drop that hammer.
Yeah,
in there, it must be tense in there. Shit, you know?
Can't imagine.
You did it to yourself.
Yeah, by releasing that bullshit game, you know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say again. I'm not gonna get into it now during the show, but we did have a very lengthy discussion beforehand about Dragon Age. I think that may be following suit based on what we've seen. You know.
I mean, here's the thing. Like one thing I did know about Concord is that the game severely kind of changed a lot once it hit Sony. So who knows if that game was in a totally different place before it hit the banks of Sony or PlayStation. We don't know. We don't know what it, we just know that they've been working on the game for 8 years.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, so I think the director at least stepping down, that's the first sign, man. That's the first sign. This video, the studio's done. They're done, you know. And you know what? I don't feel bad about it either. I don't.
No.
You know?
I don't know. I don't. It's never good when people lose their jobs, even if they're doing something that ends up not being popular. It just means that they didn't read the tea leaves good enough.
Yep.
I mean, my hope, at least my hope, is that they could learn from whatever mistakes that they made on this game, and then move forward and do something that was out there. But again, like, they only just acquired the studio, so it's like, what do you do with them, right? It seems like Sony got a bunch of lemons when they went out and they went in.
Well, either they got lemons or they've turned this into a lemon.
Yeah,
I don't know which is true, right? You don't know, like, because I and Tony and I have mentioned this. Mm-hmm. Sony Interactive moving to fucking California was a mistake.
Yeah, that changed the whole culture there. Yes, you know, all that California shit, Chris. Really seeped in there.
And I wonder if it poured into the studios they acquired.
Yeah.
Like, if that's mandated, you know, being part of Sony. And then the shit fails. And then what do? Like, they're going to do a Bungie. Just gut them, move them around, and then get rid of the fucking studio. And then work on, I don't know, the next piece of trash?
Yeah. A Syrian Air Force says they should just make them do PS1 and PS2 remakes.
I don't even want them to touch because they'll fuck those up too. Fuck
those up, yeah. Make all the characters look ugly and shit. You know,
they were fucking polygons. They'll take away the polygon titties.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like, man. Yo, this character's flat now. It's flat now. He's looking like a man. You know. Oh God. All right, man. Let's move on here. This one's fun. We got to talk about the PS5 Pro 30th anniversary. That was the big topic last week on Throwdown, PS5 Pro. And the big point of contention for a lot of people was that fucking price. You know, was it $700?
$699.99 or $700.
Yeah, $700. So people are, what the fuck? So then Sony announces this, like, 30th anniversary PlayStation Pro. Suddenly the tune has changed.
Yeah, well, the Pro, it's the Pro, it's both the Pro and the Slim. And the
Slim, yeah.
So to go through what, so it's three items. It's the
three items?
PlayStation. It's the PlayStation 4 Slim. It's the PlayStation Pro, 4 Pro. It's PlayStation 5 Pro, 5 Slim Pro, and then the Portal. Which, you know, the streaming device, which they call it streaming device now. They actually put it on there. Anyway, remote play device. Anyway,
you're right. Yeah, so, plays in Portal, remote player. Yep. Still plays in Portal, though. Yeah.
Yeah, but they have that new name on there. Just, I guess so people don't start thinking it's a fucking handheld.
You're right. Anyway, at the end of it, the remote player. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So just so that people don't confuse it for an actual console. Anyway, so what these things come with is they pretty much come with all the things that you want them to come with without the disc drive. So as I remember, the PlayStation 5 Slim comes with, you know, obviously the new shell, you know, that makes it look like a thing. It comes with a USB port, a USB-C port that looks like the old clicker PlayStation that used to go inside of it, the wiring. I think it comes with two controllers, which two DualSense controllers, like the original PlayStation came with two controllers. And then it has a poster and a bunch of stuff. That's crazy already. Comes with two controllers and it's got all this other stuff.
Comes with a vertical stand too.
And it comes with the vertical stand. So that, now, if you were to couple all of that stuff together, so, you know, PlayStation 5 controllers are now $80 now, right? They bumped them up $5 because they were 70.
Isn't it? Whoa. Wasn't it 60? Isn't it 65 now?
No, it's not 65. I think it's 70.
I'll look it up. 70 they sounds bumped about them right. Up not to, 80. Not
they
80,
bumped,
though.
They, they bumped up. Yeah, they bumped them up to 70.
Yeah.
So that's like, you know, you couple that with the stand, and that's going to be a pretty penny just to get that normal one.
Oh shit, Manny, you're right. It is $80.
Yeah, they bumped them up to 80.
Wow.
They were 70 before.
Yeah, Amazon's selling them for $5 off, but it's $80. Yeah.
Yeah, it's $80. So yeah, they've bumped up the controllers. So then that's the normal PlayStation. So the PlayStation 5 Pro.
Here we go. But here we go. Here we go. So the one I looked at, the $80 one, that's the sterling silver. So the regular,
it's a special one.
Yeah, the regular one is $75. Yeah.
Yeah, 70. Yeah, but they upped it by $5. Mm-hmm. Everything.
Yep.
Anyway, so now the Pro. That is, again, comes with the, you know, the fancy thing. By the way, both of them come with the additional plate if you want to put the hard drive on the disk drive on the bottom. Those yeah. That's sold separately.
Hey Manny, you're anyway. I'm going to throw you off right now. Did you get that camouflage gray DualSense?
I already had that. I bought that my before man. I even bought the PlayStation. See, I knew.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you I know? Always my tradition is my tradition for every single generation of PlayStation. I have a camouflage controller. So
nice.
I even have an Xbox controller. I even have an Xbox controller that's a camouflage one too. So that's my.
I don't know if you can't see it through the stream, but yeah.
Oh, you can't see it? Is no. it there?
No, because the fucking stream quality is all shit right now.
Oh, okay. So it just looked like a blob in my hand. Yeah. Anyway, so the PlayStation 5 Pro, that's the big'em. Okay, yeah. So that one comes with, you know, obviously the new plates, the new everything comes with the stand. It comes with the Pro, the whatever they call the Pro controller for PlayStation. I don't know what that's named.
I said the DualSense Edge.
It comes with a DualSense Edge, a normal DualSense. And then it comes with the charging station, the stand, and the stand.
Crazy.
That's crazy. That thing is going to be so expensive. If the normal PlayStation is $700, how much is that shit going to be?
It's a good question.
Also, it's also limited quantities or something like that. So it's at the 29th, I think it's going up on pre-order.
Wait, is that true? Assyrian? Okay, we got to verify this. Assyrian Air Force says $1,300. I could believe
it hasn't
that.
Been confirmed.
Yeah,
it hasn't been confirmed. Yeah. It hasn't been confirmed yet, but I think that sounds about right if you're coupling in all the stuff that they're throwing in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, he goes, this is what he thinks. Okay. Thank you for that.
Because the plate, because just like, you know, how like, you know, like certain things are, you know, expensive things, but they don't tell you what the price is initially. Yeah. So yeah, that we'll find out soon enough. I think on the 29th of September it goes up on pre-order. If you have a PlayStation account, you know, you might have the eligibility to, kind of like the way the old PlayStation 5s were. If you have a PlayStation 5 account or PlayStation, you know, Pro account or whatever, you have the ability to essentially pre-order it. Oh my god, that's going to be so expensive. But yeah,
gonna be
expensive. It does look really nice. I mean, you know? Like because they didn't just switch the plates on it. The actual, you know, the other parts of the PlayStation have all been customized to have, you know, stuff on it. All the dual senses, both versions have all this additional casing and stuff like that on them. So it's pretty nice.
Yeah. Now, Rich, I think I know what question you want to ask. What games can you play on it?
Well, yeah, that is a question, but I do want to make a comment.
Yeah.
I just want to take this opportunity to advertise and say I look forward to hearing Carlos and Chris's impressions of this because I'm sure they will be pre-ordering as soon as possible. So stay tuned.
Oh, man. I'm glad you didn't throw me in there, man.
Tony, would you be down to get this version?
No, it's too much money.
No, okay.
There's no games. What games am I gonna play on this thing?
You're gonna play Astrobot on there.
I got the platinum already, man.
You're gonna continue to play it. You're gonna play the plucky the plucky squire on there.
Yeah, now
there you go.
Yeah, now you're making up games, man.
No, it's a real game.
I know, I'm fucking with you. No, but I do find it funny how a lot of people who were like very angry about the PlayStation price when they saw that, they're like, hold on a second. Let me take a look real quick. Like,
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I could, if the normal PlayStation 5 Pro came with all that stuff and it was a $700 price tag, I would definitely say that's a lot better than just getting a base console to me.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah, if it came with the, you know, with like a, you know, the, the Edge controller, and it came with the nice plates and all that stuff. That'd be cool. I wouldn't mind that. That seems like a little, and the stand, that would be a lot better for $700. By the way, the Edge controller and the DualSense controller will also be available outside of the console. So they're not just locked to the consoles, kind of like the previous year.
That's cool.
Like the PlayStation 4. So yeah. If you want, like, remember, you could buy all the classic PlayStation themed controllers outside of having the fancy PlayStation 4 that was, you know, gray like that.
I remember that.
Like,
that's true.
It's the same situation. So you can buy those two things out there. But one thing I do have to call Sony out on is, like, yo, man, sell those plates.
Yeah, you know? The plates would be nice, but they want you to buy the console. They want you to buy the console.
They want you to buy the console. But I mean, I wouldn't mind, like, just, you know, like, okay, the normal plates, what is it? I think they're around 60, 70 bucks, something like that, as I remember. I can't remember. I bought two types of plates.
I bought them too, but I don't remember the price.
I bought the ones for the Slim. So there's those two plates that go on there, which, by the way, it's compatible with those. But yeah, like, you know, just sell off the plates and just. I think you could make more money doing that, you know? If you miss out on the PlayStation Pro,
sell a lot of plates.
Yeah, you can sell a lot of plates.
Well, if Sony are not going to be selling them, I know that D brand definitely will be selling them.
You know?
Well, they can't do it great. They can't do it. They can do it PlayStation gray, but they can't put a big old PS on it like that one has.
Got to be careful. But yeah, funny stuff, man. No, I was just going to say, you know, because a lot of the gaming team over on Tom's Guide, we were all the same thing. We're like, oh, man, too much money. When somebody dropped this link, like, dudes were just like, oh, fuck. Like, damn, yep. Damn. Yep.
The PS1 startup music came into your head. And you're like, dun, 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 dun.
My manager, Jason, he just posted a GIF of SpongeBob sweating. I'm like, oh, fuck, they got you, bro.
it looks good.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's good.
Yeah. So, Carlos, what's your take on this, man?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. You got it on your team message. I got it on the Discord.
Yeah.
The fellas posted it. I'm like, I side-eyed it for a little bit. I'm like, eh. But not gonna get it. It's 700 is too much, man. For
too Mickey.
You know. It is too
700.
It's gonna be a lot more.
Oh wait,
a lot more.
The 30th edition is more. I didn't see that.
No, they haven't said the price, but you look at what comes with it. It's going to be way more than $700.
Oh, it comes with. I thought it was just like a 30th edition of all the like individual ones. No. So it's all one bundle.
That
yeah.
Yes, that all those things come in that bundle.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, it comes with the normal DualSense, the DualSense Pro, the charging station, the stand, and then it comes with some fun cables, and then it has like a poster too.
Dude's about to take out a second mortgage and shit, you know?
Yeah, man, that's some serious money. Yo, man, come on, Sony, give us a PS layaway, whatever you want to call it, you know. I think people will jump right on that if they could spend, you know, maybe spend a little bit of money each month, you know, and pay it off slowly. Come on, guys.
Yeah. Although I will say, please don't put yourself into debt for a fucking console.
Oh, man.
No.
Go ahead, Rich.
No. So, I will say I might get that controller, though.
The controller is very nice.
Yeah, the controller is nice. Yeah, so the controller is nice, but no. The 30th anniversary edition means it's going to be 30 times more than the base PS5 Pro. So I don't know about that. But hey, listen, maybe they'll sell more regular PS5 Pros now for those, because everybody's not going to get, you know, people, this is still going to be a sold out item. So do expect you're going to see it on eBay, people charging a ridiculous amount of money for it. So, yeah.
So. They never actually said when the actual Pro is going to be going up for pre-order, but we 26. Have a pre-order the 26th.
Yeah.
So the 26th is the actual Pro, and then the 29th is the 30th Pro and PlayStation Slim.
Yeah, for pre-orders. I'm gonna get this controller. I bought the, I think it must have been the 25th anniversary PlayStation controller. I must, because I bought that for PS4. I know I have that controller.
No, Tony.
20th? It was,
yeah, the 20th.
Fuck. Did I buy it for PS3 then?
No, it was
the PS4.
Yeah,
it was the 20th. The 20th anniversary edition for PS4.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh shit! You're right. PS4 was 10 mm-hmm. years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. No, yeah. Brian, you're right. You're right. Fuck. Go ahead, Rich.
I just have one question for you guys as well as the listeners. So is it safe to say that Sony is going to have some type of state of play before the pre-order start? Because obviously we know about one game that was announced, so I'm thinking they have to have something happening.
One hour and three minutes. We don't even need Adam for that shit, you know? I mean, Rich, because, you know, are you referring to the rumors we've been hearing lately?
Yes. Yeah.
It's possible. I'm not going to say they are going to have one, but I say it would be smart to have one before the holidays, you know?
Yeah.
At least, you know, again, gotta have something, right? Like, show us something to be excited about for at least early next year. Like, what are we doing here? You know? So we'll see. I'm not gonna say yes or no, but be on the lookout, you know. Ask Jeff Grubb, you know, maybe he'll know.
Oh, Grubb,
or Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. It looks great, especially for my nostalgia goggles. The Memba Berries, all of them are going through the roof right now. It's that nostalgia, man.
It hits
you. But yeah, like Manny mentioned, it's gonna cost an arm and a leg to get it, and not to mention
two arms and two legs, exactly.
Two and a testicle, just because, you know. Carlos is gonna be like, "Yo, you, I got two kidneys, man. I give you one." You know?
Yo, man, what's the spleen for?
You know, I don't need this shit.
It's a limited edition. Yeah. This is gonna get sold out really quick.
Yeah, there's gonna be very little chance for people to get their hands.
That's why I'm just like, I'll just buy the controller and be happy.
One was so difficult. Like the two ones that they put out, remember that blue one that they did for PlayStation 4? And then they did the gray one, you know, that was the classic. Those things are so difficult to get a hold of.
The blue one was the 25th, right? 25th anniversary?
Yeah, I think it was the 25th one. That's when they swapped the design to that other, the three-tier design, as opposed to the half and half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shout out to Fergus Mills over on YouTube right now. He goes, I'm with Carlos. I was 99% sure I wasn't getting the PS5 Pro. Now I'm 99% sure I want the PS5 Pro 30th edition bundle. Oh, shit. That's funny, man. It looks nice.
You know what they should have did for just the hell of it? This PlayStation 5 Pro should have probably been the thing that they showed first.
Oh, this special edition?
Yeah, showed this special edition first.
Yeah.
And then say that the console is coming out. The other version of the console is coming out later.
It's crazy, man.
I mean, the response would have been a lot better.
Yeah, I think so,
The response would have been better. And did you notice, so this one thing I did find very interesting about this little conference that they did. So they had the other president of PlayStation do this one. So it wasn't Herman Holst. It was the other one that he shares CEO-ship with, which is interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had a presentation for this. That's cool.
Yeah, they did. They had a little unboxing, not unboxing, but they had a little presentation and he talked about it with one of their PR people that they got. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Cause I saw the blog post. That's cool.
The video wasn't Herman Holst, and it wasn't, you know, one of their rando people. It was actually their president, who seems like a younger guy. He seems like a guy that's maybe in our age range. It's interesting. Crazy. He seemed young. So,
all right, man. And the last story of the night, speaking about consoles, a new report says that the Xbox Series X and S have sold less than half of the PS5 sales, bro. And it says if this keeps going, it's going to be pretty much a repeat of the PS4 versus Xbox One, where PS4 just demolished the one, you know? I don't even know what else to say, Ben. Is anyone surprised, you know?
No, I mean, even throughout the generation, they've just been wanting people to get access to Xbox on other platforms where it seems like the main platform isn't really that much of a priority anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not only that, but then there's no games for it. It's even worse. Think about it. We've been complaining about PlayStation having no games, but it's even worse on Xbox, you know? So, yeah, I'm not surprised by this, man. And yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, you know, I was just saying, agreeing, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, again, we keep saying this. When Xbox buys out of the console game, don't be surprised, you know? We know they have, well, at least one more console coming, but after that, I think that's it, man. I think they're just going to be like, all right, here's an Xbox app for your TV. They already have that, you know? So it's just going to be everywhere, you know? So I don't think Xbox is going to go away. It's just going to change, you know?
Here's the thing. You know, like, I guess the idea of, you know, shipping certain games on there, but at the same time, is it really that much of a loss if you're not shipping on Xbox?
Oh, you mean like these other publishers and stuff?
Yeah, I know a lot of people are getting all pissy over, you know, certain companies essentially, you know, just not doing anything for Xbox. Is it really that much of a difference?
Yeah.
Because it obviously doesn't seem to be doing a lot for their game business when they're essentially seeing that it's better to when they're releasing titles on the PlayStation, you know?
Yeah.
And you have games like Black Myth Wukong and Stellar Blade, which I think they said that they're not console exclusive. It just ended up working out that way. And maybe Black Myth was that way. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's like they make one decision and they're like, okay, you know, we'll deal with that Xbox situation later. We actually made all of our money, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But yeah, again, that saw that report. I'm like, yep, not surprised. You know, Xbox, complete failure. I mean, much more to say. For sure, if Brett was here, he would have something to say, but numbers don't lie.
Yeah, he'd probably say, I don't know why people think Xbox is failing or something like that. I don't know.
Well, no, he would say he doesn't understand why it's not selling.
You know why it's not selling. You can't sell. It's all about the new. That is always what it's always about. It's always about the new and the new title that you have.
Yeah.
And again, Microsoft has nothing. And if they expect to sell their streaming servers just based on the fact they have a bunch of old games or a bunch of games that everybody has on everything else, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You know, like I know people say like, oh, console exclusives are anti-consumer, blah, 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 blah. That's how you get people into consoles. You have to give them a reason to come over, because if you got the same shit that everybody else has got, then what's the use?
Yeah, that's true. It's crazy, man. It's Xbox, no turning it around, you know? All right.
I'm wondering if maybe it's not Xbox, but they do a total brand shift. Like, in other words, they just totally rename their division.
They may have to get away
from Xbox. Like, in other words, yes, it's a familiar name, but maybe they need to move away from that word Xbox and move, you know, maybe it's the Game Pass, maybe it's something else. You know, the Microsoft something, you know?
Yeah.
The Microsoft X, or whatever you want to call it.
The Microsoft console, I don't know. Yeah, because I think the Xbox brand is just tainted, you know? Yeah, it's wild, man. All right. I've been wanting to do this for 2 weeks, but haven't been able to because there's been a lot of news. I want to talk about the games we've been playing lately, man. It's actually games to talk about.
Yo, what?
You know,
a gaming podcast where we're talking about games that we playing.
Yeah, what's up with that, man? You know, so and there's been some games, and some of us have been playing the Astrobots. So me, Manny, and Carlos all got that platinum, baby.
Oh yeah.
Manny, what do you think of Astrobot, man?
I enjoyed it. It was definitely a breath of fresh air. It was, you know, obviously just enough story to get you along, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. Definitely, I think Sakurai even said it. You know,
Sakurai.
It's just one of those games. Yeah, even your boy Sakurai said, "Yo, this game is fun. I couldn't stop playing, and I got the platinum too."
Nice.
So yeah, so it's like it's definitely a fun game. You know, it's got a little bit of those member berries, but you know, with all the little cameo bots that are hanging around. But yeah, it was definitely a fun game. But I also had to say the previous one was fun. It's just more of it. Definitely. You know, they say that they have some more DLCs in the line and some other things that are coming along for it. Yeah, it was a great game. That was really nice play.
Yeah,
and it's not stupidly long where you feel like you feel like you're going to a second job or something.
Ten.
You know, you get in, you know, you finish a level, then you can go move on. You get in, you do a little thing, you do one of those cool challenge levels and get your ass whipped. You know, it has all those different things.
Yeah. Carlos, what are your thoughts on Astrobots? All right, he's still muted. Oh, there he is.
Yo, so my bad. I'm doing like work stuff right now too. So I didn't get what was the topic. Sorry.
No, just what do you think of Astrobot? We're doing games we've been playing lately.
Oh yeah, man, Astrobot is just fun, man. Excuse me. It's just a fun game. Like it's one of those games where you know you're kind of reminded of like why you like video games. It doesn't really try to be anything else. You know, there's no microtransactions, no loot boxes anywhere, no multiplayer. Like it's not pretentious in any way. It's just, you know, it succeeds at doing what it wants to do, is just be a good platforming game. It re-solidifies why, you know, more developers should put more effort into, you know, incorporating the DualSense controller, because when you do it right, it hits. It probably is my favorite game I've played this year. Out of all of them. Whoa. Wouldn't say it's game of the year yet. We'll see to the end of the year. But, you know, between all the games that I've played, I still need to play Stellar Blade. I have that in the queue. I'll probably get around to that you know, later this month or maybe next month. But, you know, in a year where there's a lot of nothing coming out, you know, Astrobot was a pleasant surprise. And, it, you know, we gave it, you know, we kind of foretold this when it got showed. We're like, oh, this looks really fun. And you know what it was? It was really fun. Great game. It's a great series.
You know, like, you know, I've said this before, that the Astrobot that came with the PS5, that's a game I wish I could erase my memory of so I could play it again for the first time. What a fun experience. And this, you know, the full Astrobot game, it's just more of it, man. Great time. I said this on a previous show quickly. It's nice getting a game like this away from the tyranny of Nintendo. Nintendo's really the only company that does these type of games now. And even they don't do it as much as they used to. You know, but back in the day, you know, in the early 2000s, 3D platformers were everywhere. You know, so it is really fun to just play one that's just genuinely fun platforming. And I love those fucking challenge stages, man, because they test your fucking might, you know? Your patience, you know?
The symbol levels.
Yeah, you know, especially that last one. Excuse me?
Oh, my God. Yeah,
that was crazy.
Kill you.
Although I still say the hardest one was that fucking lava one, man. That's the one that messed me up the most. That took me
the one with a duck.
Yeah, with the duck. Yeah, that shit took me 3 fucking days, man. At least even that final challenge one, like a day maybe, you know, because I started at night. I'm like, Tony, you don't have the reflex right now, bro. Come back, you know, baby, come back, you know. And then I beat it. But I like this, like, challenging, you know. But yeah, great fun, great serious, as you said. It's good stuff, man. And I purposely played only played 2 levels a day. I'm like, I want to stretch this shit out, bro. So I didn't want to fuck it up. You know,
I wanted to savor that shit.
You know.
The other game I was playing, because it's actually free on PlayStation Plus right now. The Plucky Squire.
Yeah, what is that game about? I actually did see you guys talking about it.
So yeah, the Plucky Squire is pretty much like, you know, like a 2D, like a Zelda-like, but it takes place in a storybook, and the gimmick of the game is you can eventually jump out of the storybook and you become like a little 3D character, and then you have like a 3D platforming, you know, action adventure outside of the book, and then you jump in to the book. So there's sort of like a little bit of back and forth, and you can bring things into the book or take things out of the book, or add, you know, change sentences around to sort of, you know, change the environment. It's a very interesting little game. Simple little title. I'm enjoying it.
Is it like a Super Paper Mario type of thing?
Maybe not like Paper Mario, because like within, you know, because you're not like, you know, it's just you're in a storybook, but you know, you don't have that, like, in other words, just because you're flat, you don't fit into things. But it does have the closest thing I can say it is liked to is the, you remember that Zelda game where you turn into a little doodle? I can't remember the name of it. It's not Minish Cap.
Oh,
I can't remember.
Link Between Worlds.
Link Between. It has more like, it's like if you took the normal Link Between, you know, that game with the one that they made the remake of, and you combined it with Link Between Worlds, where you can literally jump into like 2D environments and then walk around using the, you know, in the 2D environment and jump out to the 3D world. It's something like that.
Interesting.
What made you decide to buy that game? Like, where did you learn about it?
I didn't buy it. It comes free if you have PlayStation Plus.
Oh, okay. That answers that question.
Well, you need, okay. I was the higher tier, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I just so happened to have the high. Uh-oh. I already told you what happened with why I have the higher tier, because I forgot to turn the damn auto renew off. So, you know, come at the beginning of the year, I see $100-something thing come out of fucking PlayStation. I'm like, what the fuck did
I buy?
That's
how they get you. You know?
That's how they get you. Anyway, so for the rest of the year, I do have the Super Pro. So I'm playing it that way. I was mildly interested in the title already, because it looked interesting. Hey, you know, you jump into a little storybook and you jump out. And the game is not super long. I hear it's only 9 chapters long. And I'm at chapter 8, or 7. Done. So I'm pretty far into it. And it seems like it's a relatively easy platinum too. You know, you just kind of just go through the game. But yeah, the other thing I've been playing.
Nice. Carlos, you playing anything else?
I played Space Marines 2 with the fellas, with Adam and Rich. We're playing it this past weekend. I enjoyed, you know, I always enjoy playing with the fellas, especially with Adams comparing it every past second with Gears. This ain't Gears.
This ain't Gears.
It's not, I don't know what to say.
It's not in New York.
It's not in, you know how to make this game better? Put it in New York. It's pretty fun. It's kind of hectic. We got a big bug on the game where we got stuck on a level, which was pretty interesting. It's just a good shooter game. It runs well, and it's got a whole bunch of enemies. It's one of those where like it's a waves horde? And waves of enemies. Like it's like a horde mode type game. Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty fun. You know, we'll see when we can get back to it. But you know, we got stuck in one level where we just couldn't beat it because Adam kept dying. So we need to pick that up. Sometime next this weekend, and hopefully we can progress more.
That's funny, man. But yeah, so the other game that I've been playing this entire time, actually, I got two games, people. But they're kind of tied together. So Marvel vs. Capcom dropped. I've been playing the fuck out of this game, bro. Oh, so good. Again, because remember, I've played all these games back in the day, especially on the Saturn, most of these. And Dreamcast too. Woo! They did such a great job on this, man. It's just fun, you know, replaying them. Actually, this how much, man. Like, I was playing on PC, but then, like, I think it was, like, the other day, I was like, I don't really feel like turning on my PC. So I bought it on PlayStation. So now, and then I saw that it had a platinum. So you already know I'm trying to get that platinum right now, you know? But yeah, the games are pretty much as I remember, but better, obviously, because, you know, they're the exact arcade versions, full animations and all that. Controls are tight as fuck. I've been using the Hori Fighting Commander, Octa, on both PC and PS5, because like there is one, let me see if it here. So this is the one for PC. It's like the Tekken edition. I don't give a fuck about Tekken, but the PS5 one looks exactly like this, only it has like the touchpad here, but the controllers are pretty much the same. So I've been playing on this and just loving it, man. Like, getting those achievements, just getting through all the endings and shit, just remembering stuff, you know? So I've played these games for so many decades. It's like muscle memory. All the old combos are coming out, you know? But because of that game, I got back into the dojo, man, with Street Fighter VI, you know? Because with Street Fighter VI, I pretty much played World Tour mode, which I talked about last year when I reviewed the game. Fucking awesome. Basically, it's 3D Final Fight. You go around Metro City and around the world beating the fuck out of people. It's fantastic, you know? But I never really played, like, the regular mode. So, you know, I'm in there doing story mode, which Street Fighter V didn't have. I'm still salty about that shit, you know? So I'm going through all that, doing the training modes, just trying to figure out how this Street Fighter plays. So, yeah, this, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom pretty much reignited my love of fighting games. That was my main genre. In the 90s, Manny will tell you, we were just playing all those fucking Capcom fighting games all day, you know? And I believe now they're all collected in various collections. Got the Darkstalkers games, got the Marvel vs. Capcom, got the Street Fighters, you know? I know there's some, we don't get JoJo's, unfortunately. Manny, does Bandai Namco... It was Bandai Namco that owns JoJo's the license now, right?
Yeah, they have their JoJo game that came out. They pretty much took that PlayStation 3 game.
Yeah,
they put out years ago. They re-put it out with like a remastered version of it. But yeah, as far as the JoJo Capcom game, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Now, and Darkstalkers is still locked behind the previous generation.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's two generations behind. It's in PlayStation.
No, you buy it in the Capcom Fighting Collection. It's on there. All the Darkstalkers
games. They put them all in there? Okay, yeah.
Yep. So I'm like, we have access to all the Capcom fighting games we used to play, which is great, you know? So I'm back in the dojo, bro. You know? And I also am appreciating some games I didn't like as much, like Marvel. Here's the thing. And Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter, it's still a cheap cash grab game, right? But it is a lot more fun than I remember, you know? Also, even though I still don't like the fucking music, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is pretty fucking fun too, you know? Like, you just do combos like crazy in that game, you know? But my favorites are still X-Men, Children of the Atom, X-Men versus Street Fighter, and Marvel vs. Capcom 1. You know, those are still my favorites. But Marvel Super Heroes is legit. You know, they're all good, man. And the Punisher is fucking awesome. You know, I never played the Punisher in the arcade. I forgot that game is fucking violent, man. Like, yo, how they get away with this shit in the 90s, you know?
I mean, it's because of the...
But apparently it was controversial back then, too, you know?
Yeah.
But because you're fucking shooting dudes, you're doing all this crazy shit. And they got the real Nick Fury in that shit. You know, the Nick Fury that we grew up with, you know, not Samuel L. Jackson. So that's been fun. My man's just smoking the whole time. It's great. Fantastic collection. I pre-ordered the physical version because I don't trust Marvel to take these games away from us, you know. I could go on, man. Such a great collection. Having a time of my life, you know. And now I'm like, oh, now I'm playing Street Fighter VI back in the dojo, you know. So fucking good, man. Street Fighter 6, it's like, I liked it initially, but I really appreciate it now. Like, it teaches regular people how to be good at fighting games. You know, remember fucking Street Fighter 5? That shit was just made purely for the FGC. Shit pissed me off, you know? 6 hits that balance, you know? It's literally like, you never played a fighting game before? We got you. And they do a good job of it, you know? And if you're, you know, kind of like me and shit, you know, it teaches you even more stuff. I got into some online battles. Here's the thing I'm going to say about online fighting, right? With Street Fighter, I never get fully washed in those games, right? Like, if I play, I don't even attempt Marvel vs. Capcom fucking games, you know, because I know what's going to happen. I remember when I played.
You're going to get owned by Justin Wong. That's what's going to happen.
You know, get fucked up, you know. I remember when I played Marvel vs. Capcom 3 online, bro. Literally, dudes just punched me into the air, and I never dropped to the ground until I'm dead. Like, just combo all fucking day.
You can cheese the hell out of those old ones.
Street Fighter, different story, you know. Like, I still hold my own even if the guy end up beating me, I gave him the fucking work, you know. Even till this day, it's like the skills, man. And I know if I just put a little bit more effort into it, I could get back to the way I used to be, you know. It's just fun to reignite that spirit. Gaming, man, you know. I remember, this is going to sound ironic, I'm playing fucking Astrobot, playing Marvel vs. Capcom. And the thing I said to myself was, I'm like, yeah, man, I remember when I used to be a gamer. You know, I don't really feel like a gamer anymore nowadays. I feel like I'm just complaining about the fucking industry half the time because it is bullshit now, you know. But look what happened when you announced this fucking old ass game, bro, or the collection. Everybody was hyped as fuck, you know. And I love going on Twitter, seeing new cats playing this shit and just finding out stuff that we had known for years, you know. Oh shit, Akumas, you can fight him in X-Men. Yes, you can, you know, shit like that. Like,
Cyber Akuma.
Regular Akuma.
Normal Akuma, yeah.
Remember, Manny, they literally just threw the fucking sprite from Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Yeah, Street Fighter 2. Yeah, they took a Street Fighter 2 sprite and threw it in
you
there.
Know, or like fucking Gambit staff hits you on the way up, you know. People are like, oh, I didn't know it hits you as a hitbox. Like, yes, it does, you know.
Yeah,
our buddy,
it's
our
staff.
Yeah, our buddy fucking Evil Chris used to cheese us with that shit, you know? It's like, oh, you got that, you're gonna do that move, I'm gonna jump over it. Oh fuck, the staff got me, you know. there was a bunch of other
shit. Yeah, and it hits you back into the move.
Yeah.
Too.
It does. It's fun, man. Manny, I know you're getting your physical one, so you will be enjoying it as well when that comes
out. I'm a little disappointed that the information wasn't a little more clear as to when the physical edition
is coming. I was kind of pissed off at Amazon, but it's not their fault. It's not out yet.
It's not their fault. It's Capcom's fault because whoever they, like, what, you couldn't release that shit day and date?
Yeah.
It's not that hard, guys.
Exactly, yeah. but yeah, man, like you mentioned, Justin Wong is going in there just fucking people up, you know?
Yeah, Justin Wong is doing the rounds. So he had it on PC. He essentially got the top rank on PC. He bought the PlayStation 1, got the top rank on PlayStation, and now he's going to go and beat up the children.
He's beating up the children
on that Switch.
You know? By the way, I want to say this. You guys know Maximilian Dude on YouTube? He's a big fighting game guy. So he put up a video, you know, like it was just him, like, doing a YouTube face, I call it, going, I fought the Waz, you know? Like, and it made you go like, oh, he fought Justin Wong, got fucked up. So I shouldn't be surprised. Maximilian and Justin are good friends. And it was just half an hour of them playing the games. Maximilian was holding his fucking own. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah,
he is really good.
I'm like, okay. Here's the thing. I had respect for this guy already, but he is like good. Even Justin's like, damn, dude. You know, like it was mostly back and forth. Like, you know, he won one, Justin won stuff. So he's about that life, you know. And I've been watching a lot of his videos lately. Just because he's been, because remember, he's the guy that kind of championed the whole #FreeMVC back in the day. So his reaction was great when this news dropped. He's like, what's happening? You know, he also made this other video like asking like, why does Marvel's Capcom make fans like want to barf, you know? So he basically compiled video of people reacting and they're like, oh my God, I'm going to throw up. One guy, he was choking like, what? You know, when he announced it, and I was like, and he was like, yo, man, there's something special about Capcom fans. And I thought about it. It's like, yeah, that's true. Because when I heard the announcement, I had to go to the office bathroom to scream. This shit is real, man. You know,
well, I mean, it's not, I don't think it's only about Capcom fans. I think it's their games and
their
I guess it is.
It is Capcom fans.
It's Capcom fans, but it's their games in general because of just how, you know, like then there's also a really good article on I can't remember what site it is, but it's literally about the making of that game and how like it was like a video.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. Was that the oral history that Polygon did?
Like, yes.
Okay, so Maximilian, dude, read that whole article in like an hour-long video. That is a great article. Yes.
Yeah, it's a great article. Yeah. And like literally just the guys.
Journalism.
Actually doing some journalism, right? But yeah, like actually it was a powder keg of people just being fans. Just so happening to get, you know, to just getting the rights to this thing and just doing the most fun job that they could.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like that's what you want. You don't want this sort of like, oh, look, we've decided to change it for modern audiences. No, they gave you as close to they could, the Marvel characters as you know them from the comic books.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. Like the guy who really spearheaded the whole thing. Like, he was a big comic book fan. And then even as they were making the game, some people internally were like, wait, isn't this game a little too crazy? And he's like, it's a superhero game. It's supposed to be crazy, you know? And so they kept all like the super jumps and all this other stuff, you know? Oh, but yeah, that was a good article. Again, I didn't read the article. I just watched Maximilian read it. So what he did, man, he read the article and then kind of threw in, you know, his own personal history with it and stuff. Because he's been playing these games as long as we have, you know? That was really good. But yeah, I know you're right. It was made by just passionate people. You know, and also, Manny, remember back in the day we joked like, hey, in the Japanese version is Wolverine like Dree Crow, you know, like apparently that originally that was the case. Like they sent Capcom like, you know, not a finished version, but they sent Capcom a bunch of voice tracks and stuff. It was Japanese guys going, you know, like Bazooka Barrage, you know, they're like, whoa, no. Marvel's like, fuck that. You can't use that shit. You got to use approved voices. And then Capcom was like, hey, you know what voices are approved? The fucking voice cast, you know?
Yeah, from the X-Men cartoon.
So they were like, hey, you guys want to go to Canada? You know, because that's where the studio was. So they all flew out to Canada and recorded all the tracks and stuff. And they were like, oh, yeah, those actors are really fun people, you know? That was cool. Yeah, like you said, you could tell the passion of these fucking games, man, you know?
Yeah, I was a portion of in their article they talk about Shuma Groth and like the guys in Marvel had to be like, wait, wait, like who's that? Is that one of ours?
Marvel had to be like, wait, who's that?
Yeah. So yeah. Like, you know, that's their licensing. Capcom has to
throw some weird shit in there, you know?
Well, you know,
we want the squeeze, man.
But yeah, but I think the thing about it is like they understand, like, you know, silhouettes, right?
Yeah.
Okay, obviously you're gonna have the cool characters that you want to have. You're gonna have your Wolverines, your Spider-Mans, and your things in there. But then who, like, people remember Shuma Gorath and fucking Blackheart because they're just so fucking weird.
Yeah. No, right? You're right. you remove, you know, your silhouette, you know what the fuck that is.
Like, you know, okay, what the hell that is, but it's like, man, it's like, I want to play the goofy Squid Man because it's like he's got all these fun animation opportunities. And even same thing with Spiral, too. It's like,
yeah,
okay, we got this idea. We're going to take one of the villains. Which one? The one with the four arms.
Yeah.
With the six arms.
Crazy stuff. And you know, they had to throw Silver Samurai in there because they need more Japanese representation.
Yeah, that Japanese character in there. Yeah. And then,
you know?
Yeah, because nobody really cares too much about Silver Samurai, but even they made him cool, right?
Yeah.
But he is a Wolverine villain. So
yeah, he is.
He's a Wolverine villain. But
I like how in Wolverine's ending, he kicks his ass. Like, he goes to Japan and just starts kicking Silver Samurai's ass. You know? Yeah. Oh, man. So much memories just playing through. And I've been watching a ton of videos, like, you know, recapping this stuff. There's this one guy on YouTube called, the YouTube channel is called Thorgy's Arcade. He did this giant retrospective on Street Fighter, 5 parts, and each video is like 3 hours long. Fucking amazing. And here's the funny thing. I watched the final part, which was about Street Fighter 5. He just uploaded it 2 days ago. I had no idea. So apparently I came into the series at the right time, you know? He did a whole episode just on the Street Fighter fucking movie. And the game associated with it, you know? But then in the back half of that video, he's like, okay, to wash the taint away, let's talk about the good Street Fighter movie now, you know? the animated one. Yeah, fun stuff, man. Chris, are you playing Marvel vs. Capcom by any chance?
Well, not right now. I will get it, but yeah. I have the same history as you guys. Like, the one thing I was impressed by, like, you when we were kids, when Universal Studios just opened,
yeah,
they had one of the best arcades in the park I'd ever seen. And what did they have as a centerpiece? Was Marvel vs. Capcom 2. They had a giant fight pad, but it didn't have a screen. They projected this shit onto a giant fucking screen. So you had guys like watching the match. You could watch the match from anywhere in the arcade. It was great.
That's fucking awesome. Amazing. That's awesome. But yeah, Chris, I'm talking to you now. What have you been playing lately?
Oh, a whole lot of nothing.
Oh.
I just been busy with work and yeah. life. So
makes sense.
So, yeah. I was going to ask, because I was interested in getting Space Marines 2, but on PlayStation, you can't buy the game. You have to buy the Ultra Edition. I don't know why that is. So I was like, maybe I should pick it up on Steam because you can at least just get the base game. On PlayStation, yeah, if you go to PlayStation Store, look up Space Marine 2, you can't get the other editions. You can only get the Ultra Edition, which is like $110.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. And I would definitely want to play that. And I was like, just play it on console. But I was like, I don't think I want this. I know it has a season pass. I just want to play the base game. So I'll probably pick it up on Steam. But I don't know if it's deck compatible because I'd want to play it on the deck too.
Yeah.
On my deck?
Brian, what have you been playing lately?
I've actually not been playing much. Just busy with work stuff. So, yeah, nothing to really add. But I think this weekend I'll be getting on Space Marines 2. So, yeah.
Nice.
And, on my deck?
Yeah. And, Rich, what have you been playing lately that you're allowed to talk about?
What have you been playing lately?
First and foremost, Astrobot, yes, that fantastic game. I need to go back and get the platinum. I did post a review for that, though. That's on the website right now. So yeah, I played some of that. Marvel vs. Capcom, I'm right there with you, Tony. I got to go back and try to get the platinum. And I noticed as I was reviewing the game, I saw the trophies. I said, oh yeah, so I need to get back at that. That's been a lot of fun. As Carlos mentioned, Space Marines, yes, we have been playing that. That's been a lot of fun. What else? I did go back to WWE 2K 24 because they released some DLC today that I tried out. Some other wrestlers that should have been in the game already at launch, but this is what 2K always does, so no surprise there. That's pretty much it. There's a lot of stuff that I can't talk about that I have been playing. I'm just going to say it's been a very busy. I mean, the busy season has started for us, you know, and shout out to Mr. Adam Vale because he got about what feels like 15 to 20 games that he's reviewing right now. So, yeah, it's a lot of stuff that we're working on. So stay tuned. I'll be able to talk about some stuff in the future.
Yeah, I was about to say that Rich and I will be able to talk about some previews that we'll be attending. That's all I'm going to say about that. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Good times, man. And speaking about that, Rich, yeah, the reason I talked about fucking Marvel vs. Capcom for the last 20 minutes is because I've been holding this in this whole time. Because there was a point for like 2 weeks where I had the game where it was under embargo. I couldn't talk about it. And then, you know, all this news happens. I couldn't talk about a throwdown. So, oh, man, so good. I could keep talking more about it, but I'll stop right now. I will say this, though, again, because I've been going through all the Street Fighters and stuff. One of the videos I watched was, you know, the history of Street Fighter 4, because I was there. That game brought everything back, man, you know? But here's the part that fucked me up. This is crazy. That game dropped in 2008, right? Mm. In 4 years, that game's going to celebrate its 20th anniversary. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
That release of that game, it's like it happened yesterday, man. That's how vividly I remember. And it's been 20 years. Nuts. Time passes, man. Time passes, you know? But yeah, so I definitely want to, if we're still doing throwdown at that time, we'll definitely talk about it, you know? All right, man. So I'll wrap it up here. Rich, what else is going on with the coalition?
Oh, yeah. So as I mentioned last week, we will be bringing back the I Am Negan show. I believe that's next weekend is the return of the Carol and Daryl.
Carol and Daryl.
Carol and Daryl. Yeah. It should be very, very interesting. So you know, stay tuned for that. Adam Vale, Carlos Romero, and myself. That'll be next weekend. Aside from that, over at the Coalition, as I mentioned, it is a very busy time of the year. A ton of reviews have been going up throughout the week. And we have a lot more coming because, yeah, my inbox is on fire right now. Adam's inbox is on fire. So stay tuned. And again, we can't talk about every game, but I'm just telling you, you might want to stay tuned, though.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff coming, man. Get ready, you know?
Yeah.
All right, we are done here, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord with the conversations. The rumors are always popping. You could also find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. If you've been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the video, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit that bell to be notified of when we go live every Thursday and Sunday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. And links to everything are down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Yo, man, you could tell that Astrobot was a labor of love when you play those credits.
You know, for real, man. So good. So good. Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Majoma.
Waiting to hear those Astrobot sales numbers.
Ooh. What's the magic number, Brian? Because I heard it was like 2 million so far, but it needs to be 5, right?
No, 1 million.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah, that's right. The accountability room?
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. It's there.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, we got to see. Because I know, actually, I don't know the sales numbers, but they said it was the number 2 best-selling game in America or something like that. But that's not sales numbers, you know? So we'll see. We'll see. All right, guys. We'll see you on Sunday. Yeah. I'm like, what day is it, bro? Yeah, we'll see you on Sunday. Questions, get them in. Later.
Just laters.